passage for the message this morning is 3 John 5 through 8. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. Thank you, Gene, for reading the scriptures today, and thanks for the worship team leading us in those songs of worship. Thank God for the opportunity to be together and be united with you as the people of God. This morning, as we look at 3 John verses 5 through 8, I'm going to talk to you this morning about affirming those who are devoted to advancing the kingdom of Christ. Reading these verses, we could say, well, what we really need to talk about is the importance of hospitality. And I think hospitality is important. And I think that that is a way of showing honor to God and to one another. But I think it's beyond hospitality. And so that's what I think that's the heart that Gaius has. I think that's the heart that John is affirming in Gaius. And so that's the focus of this message today, is trying to understand this, the heart of this man as he's advancing, allowing God to use him to advance the kingdom of Christ. By way of introduction, I say to you, Jesus gave his disciples a model prayer. We typically recite it as the Lord's Prayer in various circumstances and settings. This is recorded in Matthew's Gospel in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus, when giving his disciples advice on how to pray, he said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many of you have heard that prayer before? How many have said that prayer? Privately, corporately, no doubt. Question. Since Jesus gave his disciples a model prayer like this, do you think that it includes subjects that we should be thoughtful and prayerful about as well? At least one person says so. The subjects of this prayer that I want to highlight today are contained in the phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now I'm going to read a long sentence that I constructed for this purpose. Okay, and it's going to be up on the slide, so I told you it was long. The advancement of gospel truth, the transformation of lives through repentance and faith, the assembling of transformed believers and families in local churches for edification, and the spreading influence of gospel truth to the lives and voices of followers of Jesus in communities, states, and nations is the advancement of God's kingdom on earth in the name and authority of Christ. That is how I would describe advancing the kingdom. Is the advancement of the kingdom of Christ in this fashion something that you believe that we should support? Some form of affirmation would be accepted. A mere nodding of the head in an affirmative fashion would be welcome. Let me ask that question again. Is the advancement of the kingdom of Christ in this fashion something that we should support? Yes. Is the advancement of the kingdom of Christ in this fashion something that we should be involved in? Yes. It is that idea and that understanding that I think the Apostle John is affirming in Gaius. He's not just telling him, hey, you're making this hospitality thing a good deal. It is his concern and his heart to do what he needs to do to support and advance and involve himself in advancing the kingdom of Christ on earth. So in verse 5, he says, John writes to Gaius, he says, beloved, it is a faithful thing that you're doing in all your efforts for those, for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. So the point here, I think, is that faithful strangers need to be supported by the faithful. Faithful strangers need to be supported by the faithful. And as John begins this next portion of his address, I think you see throughout this letter how much he cares about Gaius, how concerned he is for him. He says, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers. Beloved. I think this expresses John's holy affection that is drawn to Gaius and the gospel fruit of the devotion of his life. It unites his heart with his. When someone is devoted to a life of gospel truth to which you are devoted, it bonds your hearts together in Christian love. When you connect with someone who cares about the kingdom, cares about the truth, cares about advancing the cause of Christ in the same way you do, your heart makes a connection with them. It's encouraging, it's affirming, and you share that. And that's the concept behind this word, beloved. You see, loving devotion to the cause and kingdom of Christ is the essence of Christian fellowship. That's what Christian fellowship is about. This is what undergirds it. It's not just two Christians getting together over coffee. It's not just getting together in somebody's house and just sharing a meal together. There's a focus. There's a connection of our hearts, understanding the role and authority that Christ has as our King and our job on His earth. Excuse me. And the song says, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Boy, sorry. I probably should break out in song, but clearly I shouldn't. Blessed be that tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. before our Father's throne. We pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes. Our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. That is this idea. We're united together in this bond of Christian love. We're brought together to pursue, to care, to advance what God has put in our hearts to advance. When the Apostle John calls Gaius beloved, I think this is the type of holy affection that he has in mind. That is what I care about you, brother. I am so thrilled for what God is doing, how we are united in this task of advancing the cause of Christ. This is the fellowship for which Christians' hearts long, and this is the fellowship that we need to promote. He says, it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers. Gaius' support of the gospel messengers from other congregations displays his obedience and trust in the teaching and promises of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is putting the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, into practice, which is what you and I should be striving to do as well. The teaching of Jesus Christ have been shared by John and like the other apostles and messengers to Gaius and others in those churches. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, we have one of these accounts of the teachings of Jesus Christ, where Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is not just this concept of you're just going to be filthy rich if you just give. But the point being is your heart becomes united in these things. And you can trust that God is going to take care of you. If you give, God's going to take care of you. You support his work. He's going to take care of you. You advance his cause. You can trust him. He's going to take care of you. That's what Paul taught. That's what John taught. That's what Peter taught the churches, the teachings of Christ. Listen also to the teachings of our Lord in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. And he says, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. The support that Gaius is providing for gospel messengers, these church planters that have come, is a faithful thing because he's trusting and obeying the teaching of Jesus Christ. He is blessed and he is benefited because he is putting the truths and teachings of Christ into practice. John wants Gaius to know, man, this is a good thing. What you're doing is work well done by the grace of God and for the glory of God. You're being a faithful man. It's a faithful thing. Faith. Taking the promises of God to heart, not needing to believe they need to be augmented with anything else, just taking the promises of God at face value and putting them into practice. That's what faith is about. And he is a faithful man, John affirms, because not only is he putting the promises of God, he's also taking those promises into his heart and mind. He's praying for the Spirit's help, and he is a discerning follower of Jesus. he practices biblical discernment in the ways that he follows Christ. We go back to 2 John verses 9 through 11 because, okay, we have messengers coming to the church and Gaius supports them. Does that mean any messenger coming to the church should be supported? Well, if you were listening in 2 John, you would say no. Because we go back to 2 John chapter 9 verses 9 through 11. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. You see, Gaius was a discerning supporter. He did not welcome the false teachers. He welcomed the true teachers of gospel truth and righteousness. Gaius was discerning. He understood the teachings of Christ. He put those teachings into practice. The same should be said of us. You see, his discernment and his faithfulness are a blessing to the church. It's also a blessing to the travelers who are out representing Christ. And then to other churches who hear of how God's grace is evident in the life of Gaius, in his faithfulness. Gaius is committed to protecting and advancing the gospel message in the kingdom of Christ. You see, because Gaius is living confidently under the rule and reign of King Jesus. Don't you think that's a great example that John is affirming here? These are things you and I need to take to heart as well. What are we on this earth to do? What are our lives about? It is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. Put yourself in that situation. You don't know these people. You don't know these guys. They've come from another church, and they're coming to minister. And maybe just as a stopping point before they go off and plant additional churches and influence other communities with the gospel of Jesus. But they're strangers. Gaius knows nothing of them other than their messengers for Christ and their travels, promoting the will and ways of the Lord. It's likely that they came with letters from John or other church leaders affirming their credibility and their mission. Letters of introduction and commendation were commonly practiced during those times. They probably did come with similar letters. And although Gaius did not know them, based on the testimony of others and his observation of their faithfulness, it wasn't just blind. I believe he saw things in them. I don't think it takes long to sit down and have some heart-to-heart connection and verbal exchange to find out, oh, okay, we are on the same page. And I think Gaius was intentional in that way. And so, based on that observation of their faithfulness, he welcomed them with food, housing, and his blessing. I'm willing to take you into my home. I'm willing to feed you, and I'm willing to say, yes, you're here for a good and godly reason. You're advancing the kingdom of Christ. So it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers though they are, who testified to your love before the church. When these traveling Christians witnesses returned home, they affirmed the love and support Gaius had shown them. Gaius and the traveling ministers are co-laborers for the cause of Christ, who shared supportive and encouraging fellowship. And these travelers affirmed to their church the loving grace of God that was evident in Gaius when they came there. They said, God was a blessing to us through this man, through his household and what he provided for us. So John is affirming God's grace in Gaius's life. He's affirming what he sees God doing in and through him. And these men who were blessed and benefited affirmed that as well. All praise to King Jesus. That should be the heart. We want Christ's kingdom to advance, and we want Christ to be praised as we work to accomplish these things. Supporting the Lord's messengers is supporting the Lord. The last part of verse 6. You do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. Apparently, that previous visit was not going to be their last. They're coming back. And when they come, John encourages Gaius to keep up that good work. Send them on. That phrase is they've used many times in the New Testament describing the support that is given to missionaries and apostles and others who are sent on in that way. It involves food, housing, finances, and the like. The ministry that the traveling messengers are providing, it needs to be supported. Gaius fulfills the instruction of the Apostle Paul that he gave to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 1. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Gaius was willing to commit all that he had in service of God. It was a sacrifice of support he was willing to give, and it was an act of worship. When they came and he welcomed them into his house, when he fed them, when he affirmed their ministry, this was an act of worship. It wasn't an act that he was getting personal praise. It was the power of God in him, and that was what was being affirmed. I think the Lord empowers and would expect the same thing of his people today. I think he empowers you and I today to be thoughtful, to be prayerful, to be supportive of the things that God is doing. And as with Gaius, you and I also need to be discerning supporters. We need to make sure people are doing biblical stuff. Would you not agree that there are people out here in the name of God that don't do biblical things? Absolutely. So we need to be discerning. We need to understand that. We need to ask questions. We need to be caring and concerned in that way. We need to make sure that the people we support are advancing the kingdom of Christ in a biblical manner. And we need to ask God to help our support of those people be consistent and dependable as well. Verse 7, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. So he says, you'll do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Advancing the kingdom of Christ rests on the multifaceted empowering of his subjects. These gospel messengers went out to share the gospel truth and establish churches under the authority of Jesus Christ. They were doing what God had called them to do through the commission of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 18 and following, and Jesus said to his disciples prior to his ascension, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the commission we've all received from the Lord Jesus. It wasn't just for his disciples. This has come to all of us as followers of Christ. We go out on his earth under his authority, and we support others who are going out under his authority. We are to make disciples of Jesus, not disciples of ourselves. We're to acquaint them with the teachings and commands of Christ. And we are promised his power and presence will accompany us until the task is done. And I think one of the ways that Jesus is with us is through the support of the body of Christ, the covenant household of faith, as churches function as the pillar and buttress of truth. We support the cause of Christ on earth. We come together as his people so that the gospel and the kingdom of Christ advances. You see, the church can't function as the pillar and buttress of truth if the people in the church don't function as the pillar and buttress of truth. You can't think that the church does something that the people of the church don't do. Because the church is the people. You remember that little thing? You know, here. As a little kid, you open the door. What? Here's all the people. We're the church, folks. We're this. That is important. We've got to come united in this way. We need to consciously understand our responsibility to be a pillar and buttress of truth. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to promote the truth. We're going to advance the cause of Christ. That's why we're here. We're not just here just to simply survive. We're here to advance the cause of Christ. We need to be intentional in the way we speak the words of truth, the way we stand for the words of truth, the way we share our hope in the work of Christ as our Lord and Savior, the sin bearer who bore our sin, and we need to share that saving truth with others. This needs to be something we're intentional about. And we need to encourage and support others who are doing the same thing. This is what Gaius is doing as a servant of his church. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. So the people of the local church go out as the Israel of God to further kingdom work of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus. Accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Interesting phrase, isn't it? Accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Unbelieving peoples. Who would be the opposite of Gentiles? In your vast biblical understanding, who are the opposite of the Gentiles? Would it be fair to say the Jews? Yes? And you would be right. A plus. This is great. So they went out and they weren't accepting anything from the Gentiles. So does this mean that these messengers from these churches were all Jewish people? Quite the opposite. That's not the case. And the churches that John is writing is not just a Jewish congregation. It is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. Now, I need to be very careful here, because I don't want you to feel like I'm being anti-Semitic in my comments. I am not. I think we should love ethnic Jewish people. I think ethnic Jewish people are people we should share the gospel with. And if they don't know Christ, they need to know Christ. Would you agree? We should be passionate about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to Jewish people. And we should be passionate about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all peoples. No matter what, that is our responsibility. And why do we need to share the gospel with Jewish people? Because they need Jesus. How many of you think they need Jesus? If they don't have Jesus, what's going to happen to them? They're going to hell. Should we be concerned about that? Yes, we should be concerned about that. We need to be sharing the gospel with Jewish people. We need to be sharing the gospel with all the peoples of this earth that don't know Jesus Christ, because our concern should be for their souls. And guess what? If ethnic Jews accept Jesus Christ, they can come and be part of the Israel of God in the church, which is what God has formed in the new covenant. And what is that? The Israel of God is composed of ethnic Jews and Gentiles, saved by gospel grace and united by the Holy Spirit as one new man in Christ. And I can't expand on this any more than what I've done already, because I don't have time. You said, well, you're only preaching a few verses. I know, but I'm very wordy. I draw your attention, please read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. You'll see the point of this, that the mystery of God is the union of both Jew and Gentile in one new man in Christ. We're not saying that ethnic Jews are repulsive. We're saying they need the gospel just like you and I need the gospel. And we want them to be saved, so we're not opposed to Jewish people. We want them to know Jesus Christ. But we want them to be part of the true Israel of God, which is the church, united by faith in Christ Jesus alone, one new man in him. So an effort to call those in darkness into the light of Jesus Christ, we should anticipate no favor from this world. That is the point that he's making. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from Gentiles. Basically, Gentiles, unregenerate people, are not going to support the cause of Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? Unregenerate people aren't going to support the cause of Christ, for the most part. This doesn't mean that we don't get it at times and take advantage of it when it happens, but you don't expect it, you don't depend on it. There are times unregenerate people can do nice things, and we should rejoice in that. But you can't depend on that. You can't expect that. Verse 8, therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. We all praying for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Shared devotion in the kingdom of Christ multiplies efforts. People who go will need the support of the church. If people in the church are going to go out and make known the gospel of Christ and share this truth, they're going to stand for truth. They're going to stand for the teaching of Christ. Don't they need to be supported? Sometimes that will be material support. Sometimes it'll be financial. But most of the times it's going to be, man, we need to be praying. We need to be lifting up prayers for God's people as they're out doing the work. Do our missionaries need our support? Do we have a responsibility to give to them financially and support them with our prayers? We need to be intentional about this. Would you not agree? At some point in your life, in your time as a Christian on earth, you need to have a prayer list of some sort that says, I'm praying for these people. I'm praying for our missionaries. Praying for people who are advancing the cause of Christ. I think when Austin, Lena, Caleb, Chris, Krista, Adam, Rachel go to Planned Parenthood or show up at UCCS and are trying to engage those people with the message of the gospel, challenging them to consider life, standing certainly against abortion, but for gospel truth, should we not be praying? And maybe even joining with them? You say, well, I like the prayer part. We need to be united in these things. We need to support one another. We need to advance the cause of Christ. When people go to the state capitol and tangle with lawyers and legislators, do you think they need support from prayer? When people go to share the gospel with unsaved family and friends, do they need prayer support? See, we need to support people like this. This should be our passion and this should be our prayers. God, advance your cause. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, right? This should be our prayer. Those going will take all the support from the church they can get because they are promised nothing but opposition and attacks from the Gentiles. You know, I don't have lived in any delusion that if you go and stand outside of Planned Parenthood or you go to a university campus and you share the gospel, that everyone will warmly welcome you. That is not the case. when we go and appear before these state lawyers on Thursday, I'm expecting them to warmly receive us and really appreciate the fact that we're taking the time to talk with them. No, but is it possible that God, through the prayers of his people, might open hearts on a sidewalk, on a campus, in a Capitol building? Service and support unite our hearts and means in devotion to advance the kingdom of Christ. United, we stand against the deceived, the deceivers, the disgruntled, and the divisive. 2 John. But united, we advance gospel truth of Jesus Christ. That is what we're about. We want to see the kingdom advance. And our efforts are multiplied as fellow workers for the truth when we unite together, when that heart of Christ-centeredness and the advancement of his kingdom brings and bonds our hearts together. This is the essence behind the statement that we have as our purpose statement as a church. We exist to make known the glory of God in all of life for the delight and satisfaction of all peoples. That's why we're here. Gaius isn't affirmed because he practices personal hospitality. That would be good and fine if that was all it were. I'm not taking issue with anyone that's hospitable. You understand that, right? But the point is the hospitality that comes with the focused intention of advancing the cause and kingdom of Jesus Christ. Gaius is affirmed because he is devoted to uniting with others to advance the kingdom of Christ through the gospel and transformed lives, churches, communities, states, and nations. He was committed to this work materially and spiritually. We are to be committed to this work materially and spiritually. You say, but Pastor, my goodness, do you realize how powerful the opposition is? How substantive and significant the forces of darkness are? Do you realize going up to the Capitol on Thursday that we are so far behind? What's it going to take? It's going to take a miracle. Guess what? We do serve a miracle-working God. What seems impossible to men is possible with God. And Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. These are our words of encouragement from our Lord. Don't think that the task is too large. Your God is bigger. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what will happen at any Planned Parenthood. I don't know what will happen on UCCS campus. I don't know what will happen with your friends, your family. I don't know. None of us do. I don't know what will happen Thursday, but I know that if anything happened, it's going to be by the power of God. And I believe that God wants his kingdom to advance. And I think it is something that we should be praying about. Lord, we want your kingdom to be done and advance here. We want your will to be accomplished on earth like it is in heaven. Read this, a similar statement like this in one of the commentaries, so I included it in my notes. Jesus promises to empower gritty gospel servants. I kind of like that. He promises to empower gritty gospel servants. We just need to get down in the trenches, folks, and do the work that God has called us to do and support those who are doing it. In both service and support, let's unite our hearts to be gritty gospel servants. Guess what? The power of God is with us. Guess what that means? The God of all power and might can give you and I a backbone. Praise be to God. We need to stand. We need to advance the cause of Christ on earth. This is what we're here for. This will be the most satisfying, delightful activities that we will ever partake in. When our hearts are united in this way, God will be exalted. Our hearts will be blessed. Questions to consider. How do you describe Gaius putting his faith into practice? How would you explain that to someone? How would you unpack that for someone to understand? In what ways is supporting the Lord's messenger supporting the Lord? And what characteristics of Gaius' life need to be characteristic of your own? Since faithful servants of Christ cannot depend on Gentiles for support, on whom can they depend? And in what ways do you want to see the Lord help you do a better job of advancing the kingdom of Christ? And how can you do a better job of supporting others? Reasonable questions to consider in light of this short text. I hope that God will challenge us to think about these things. I hope that we will ask God to help us to be thoughtful, prayerful, intentional, and that these aren't just mere words, but that we want to see Christ display his power, advance his cause. Man, folks, our city is in desperate need. Our state needs Jesus. Our nation, wow, do we need Christ? Nations around this globe need Jesus Christ. We got lots of work to do. We need to get engaged. God, I pray that you would help us to be engaged. I pray that you would help us to prayerfully submit our hearts to you. God, we want to be united with one another in this kind of fellowship where our hearts are knit together, bonded in the love of Christ, where we unite together to see your purposes flourish, that we believe your word, that we take your word seriously, that your promises are real and meaningful, and we live them and we want to share them with people so they can know the power of this truth by faith. God, accomplish that work in this church. Help us to be a people united in truth for the sake of advancing the righteous cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Build your kingdom here, Lord. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. God, please do these things to the glory of your name in Christ. Amen.